apart from you, how you have blessed us and given us all, everything, every blessing in Christ in the heavenlies. We're just glad to be here. We're glad we're yours. And Lord, we just want to appreciate you, what you have given, what you're doing, what you're going to do, that we have hope and purpose, and there will be gain for yourself in all of us. We look to you for your blessing, for your just help, enlightenment, and your presence. We're glad that you're here. Lord, I know sometimes we don't want to sing so much, but I'm glad we did this morning. Praise you. You are good, and your word is good. Feed us in Jesus' name. I thought a while back, because we're leaving, I wanted to have one final word. I thought I should. There were different burdens on my heart, things I wanted to share. Some came out yesterday, just after hearing all the expressions of love and care. I can't say how wonderful you are, how we are blessed because of you. And I don't say that lightly. I know it. So I don't plan on preaching this morning. This is what I want to talk about, things I know, if not all of us, most of us know about it. Most of us are familiar with the scriptures. And bear with me. It's just fresh in my heart. The Lord has brought this to my heart again this week. And it's largely what I see, what I see in part. I think of the late verses in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. The Lord gives us things, a word, he gives us faith in these things, but it's in part. There is always more. There is always more. More to see, more to enter into, and more to be hungry about. We don't have to have hunger and despair, but we hunger for more of the Lord, more of his word, more life, more of his purpose realized here and wherever his people meet. So I'm grateful for this opportunity. I may not take the whole time. You might appreciate a short one today. Turn with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. We have said that to the Lord, have we not? That we put our trust in him. O my soul, we have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. In the light of so many things that were said yesterday, I am so acutely aware of this, that any goodness, anything that is seen that's pleasant, that has blessed others, or whatever, is nothing apart from the Lord. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. I can't say amen stronger to that, and how much it means and has meant and will mean to us. As Jim was sharing at the conference about a bonds that we have, we've been here together. The Lord has done some wonderful things among us and to us and through us, both by blessing, through ministry, through working together, serving together, working together, cleaning the building, doing KP at retreats, just a lot of things. All these things are not lost. They are all something the Lord has done and how we have worked together and known his blessing and release and edification in. I can't say that enough. I've been here 52 years. And I look back with joy, with satisfaction, and yet I'm very much aware of my own failure. People see the good things and want to talk about that very much in different ways, but I don't want to talk about that either, because in the Lord's sight, we are perfect, we are righteous, and I have peace. We have peace. And we'll have everything. Us, you, what the Lord's going to do is all in his hands. Joe and I are, well, I'll say I. My wife is, I wish she was feeling a little better, because I'm excited and I see an adventure. I'm a little more outspoken, I guess. But I look forward to see what the Lord's going to do. And I know he's not finished with us, and that's not just thinking what he's going to use us to do, but work he has to do inside of us to change us, make us more like Christ. Verse 5. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. We've had a lot of ministry and we think a lot about the Lord being our inheritance. We know it's the Lord himself, and yet we know we have future inheritance in glory in heaven, and we're all there with him as his bride. There, just in enjoying him, serving him. We're not just going to sit up there and every 5 seconds say praise the Lord and have, like Lance has, a damp nightie and everybody saying hallelujah and carrying on. We're going to be serving the Lord. Who knows how many universes he has created and made and things, what he has. We have no idea. It blows my mind when I think about it. I can't get hold of it. But I've grown up knowing nothing about heaven, and I've always wondered as a kid, I don't want to go to heaven. I like it here. But to realize that the Lord has more for us to do and more for us to serve him. And more, the more we enter here, the more we will realize later how important it is that today and now we are finding our inheritance in the Lord himself. Himself. Not just our circumstances, what's good and what he does for it that we think are good and how he blesses us. But he is our inheritance. He is my inheritance. He says, you are my the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You know, Jesus referred to the cup when James and John and his mother wanted them to be special in his kingdom on his right side and on his left. And he said to them, can you receive the cup that I will have? And will you be able to suffer as I will? But his cup includes everything. And even though we're in everything, we all have our circumstances, our pressures, our difficulties, our cup is still in him, no matter what's happening. He's our inheritance, he's our cup, and he's our lot. He goes on to say, you maintain my lot. We often think we take care of things. We move in the neighborhoods where we'd like to live. We get the job we're after a lot of times. Sometimes we have to take second, third, fourth choices. And we often think, well, you know, I got this and we do this. And the Lord is in charge in our lives, in everything. Whether we realize it or not, he is working in everything. And we find in our difficulty, no matter where we are, we all have difficulties and problems. The whole essence, it's all about Christ. The more trouble we have, the more we're going to find out about the Lord. The more we're going to be changed. The more we're going to see of him. And the more we will discover, the more we will eat and drink of him. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. At times I have complained, but I am so thankful for the lines, the way the Lord has drawn them. And even with children of Israel, when they were brought into the land, they all were given a lot. And it wasn't their doings. It was by what other men did before the Lord or whatever. The Lord did it, but through others. And we see the same thing in our lives. The Lord uses other people to draw the lines for us. We don't like it. We need to see the Lord's hand and just submit to Him in these things and take hold of Him. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance because He is wonderful. David goes on to say, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Praise the Lord for those night seasons, those times when we can't sleep sometimes. And you wonder, you struggle about it, you lay there, you worry about this, you get anxious about that, and you got to think about tomorrow, oh, this was horrible, it happened. So many things. And the enemy, you can count on, would flood our minds and things. But my heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I've come to know just a little bit when I can't sleep or whatever to turn to the Lord. And often when you pray, you go right to sleep anyway. But there's something about turning to the Lord and just let everything go. Just be quiet. So often that's when the Lord gives us His counsel. He gives us wisdom. He gives us grace, hope, and assurance. We need those quiet times. Not just at night. In quietness and confidence shall be our strength. In Psalm 51, verse 6, it says, Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. And that's what the Lord does. In the inner part, our innermost man, deeper than our thoughts and our feelings, but where He dwells, deep in our heart. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, David says, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. We can say that in confidence. We shall not be moved. The Lord has things in control. He knows exactly what He is doing and has purpose in it. But this first part really stands out to me, and I think it's so significant in our lives and our walk before the Lord. I have set the Lord always before me. Do we do that every day? I know we think of having our quiet time, but it's even more than that throughout the day when you have a chance to think in between everything you have to deal with. Are we setting the Lord before us, before ourselves? It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of exercising your faith. It's a matter of commitment. Are we setting the Lord? I find conviction in that myself, and on the other hand, I find that true. When I set the Lord before, it makes a whole difference in everything. He takes away the complaining and the looking down on others and things that are things that you don't think are right that should be changed. Those things don't matter. What matters is that Jesus is Lord and He's blessing me and that I'm knowing His presence and following Him. Also in Psalm 51, verse 10, He says, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast. The old King James says, right. I like steadfast. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And how significant that is. We need to look to the Lord. Sometimes you can't do it. You don't feel like it. Everything's again. We still need to come. We still need to ask the Lord to change my heart. Cause me to come. We sing that song, cause me to come to thy river. You know, cause me to drink, cause me to live. The Lord does that. But He often waits for us to come. He doesn't just, so often we wait and we say, oh, the Lord's going to take care of this and He'll make me feel better. And we don't deal with things. He wants us to deal with it. He wants us to turn, to open the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open it, I'll come in. And I won't just come in, I'll sup with you. I'll feed you. I'll feed with you. God is so good. Therefore, David says, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. He and we have every reason to be glad and to rejoice. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. I thought about it. I didn't think about this before, but he says, my glory. What is our glory? Is our glory not the Lord himself? If we're honoring him and glorifying him, our glory is him. He rejoices. He rejoices when we respond, when we turn, when we commit, when we seek him with our whole heart. Down at your feet, O Lord, we were singing this morning. He always responds to that broken and contrite spirit. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. I'm glad that the Lord enters into our joy. I'll say a little bit more about that at the end of the psalm here. And then he says, my flesh also will rest in hope. That's what made me want to sing that song we sang, Our Hope is in the Lord. My flesh will rest in hope because he is our hope. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We dwell, that means we dwell securely. The dwelling place where he has brought us into himself, into Christ, we dwell there securely. We are secure in him. And we know this portion, these last few verses are talking, looking forward and talking about the Lord Jesus. He says, for you will not, especially in this next verse, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Or the center column says, the abode of the dead. You will not, in light of Jesus, which he knew when he was on the cross, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. He knew. It wasn't up to him when he got resurrected. It was up to the Father. He died in faith. He died in faith with that knowledge of his Father and knew what God had promised and what the Lord was going to do through his death and resurrection and his pouring out his Spirit on the church, on all of us. It's not just those who have peculiar experiences. The whole church in Christ has been baptized in Christ. I don't want to get into the doctrine so much, but that's a fact. But I find great hope in these things. My heart's glad and rejoice, glory rejoices. My flesh will rest in hope. And then there in the last verse, you will show me the path of life. It's because of who he is that he will show me the path of life. Who is life? Himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the path. He's also the life. You will show me the path of life. We can trust in that because we're his. This is what he wants. In your presence is fullness of joy. We like being happy. We like things going well. But the deeper joy is when you're hurting and the Lord meets you. I know many of us, most of us, know that in our experience. In your presence is fullness of joy. You know, the Apostle John speaks of joy. He said in John 15 what he was talking about abiding in Christ and abiding in his love. And he ends that, well, I probably should just read it. Where are we? John 15. Here it is. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. For if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. He's given us his joy. He wants us to abide there and continually enjoy it and enter in and know its freshness. It's all in Christ. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. And he also says in 1 John chapter 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, he says, that your joy may be full. That is the will of God, that our joy in Him will be full. It is His will. It is ours. It has been given to us. It's part of our inheritance. I find delight in that. And the fact in all of this, this matter of having fellowship, just staying in fellowship, abiding in Him, you know, which means we need to obey, but it's seeking Him, it's setting Him before our face every day, every hour, and looking to Him with longing and desire and hunger. I'd like to read some also from Psalm 31. Not the whole psalm. Both of these psalms are very, very dear to me and have meant a lot at different times. When I was thinking about it midweek, right after Psalm 16, Psalm 31 came to mind, the first part of it. He says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, of strength, a fortress of defense to save me." There's something about our say, be who you are. Be, Lord. Make me realize it. Fill my life. For you are my rock and my fortress. That's solid ground. That's hope and our protection. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. So often this happens at work. These people, you know, we may have did a boo-boo or different things, or people just don't like you because you're a Christian. They want to make life rough for you. He says, pull me out of the net which they've secretly laid for me. It doesn't matter what happens. If we turn to the Lord, He does deliver us. It doesn't mean He brings you out of that circumstance, but He brings the joy and the relief in your heart, in your spirit, and makes you to know His presence and to realize that He is Lord. Therefore, in verse 3, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. It's not just about me. It's for your name's sake. We forget that sometimes. It's important to those who are around us that we walk with the Lord, that we make a difference, but it's for His name's sake that He be honored. And in that we find greater blessing and joy. You know, when you've made an impact, I mean, we don't always realize when that happens, but I mean, there's also a crowning. I like that crown of life. When you said something, or you know the Lord has used you, there often is that crown of life that just gets, for a little while, added to your life. The Lord's special. For you are my strength. Verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. We are His. He's paid the price for us. I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. For you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities. You think of Psalm 139, how the Lord knows us. He knows our goings. Our goings, our coming and our going. He's behind us and before us. I mean, the Lord knows everything. He knows our thoughts. He knows our feelings. He knows everything. His knowledge is infinite. It's unsearchable. We have no idea how much he cares for each and every one of us, for all his people. That can bring rest to our heart, assurance. You have redeemed me. I am the Lord's. I remember once when I was very depressed, I can remember just crying out to the Lord. I was in pain. It's after surgery. And the Lord, I just cried out to the Lord. I can't stand this. I don't want to live like this. You've given me life. And I cried out to the Lord. And the Lord blessed me. Unbelievably, just made me know his love and his presence. So often, all we have to do, call upon him. Call upon him. And he comes in marvelous ways. Not always, he comes in different ways. But I'll never forget that. I was horrible. I nothing was right. I was in pain, everything. You know, I had medication, all that stuff. But I cried out to the Lord. And the Lord made it so real that you are mine. And that I am his. And nothing can separate me from his love. And all of a sudden, the rest didn't matter. I know many of you have experienced the same kind of thing. I'm not want to make a big deal of my experience, but in other ways, I know, have experienced this. Verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. He will not let us go. He will not allow the enemy to triumph in our lives. You have set my feet in a wide place. We think about these things and how the Lord is everything to us. It's a wide place. The more we experience and know of him, the more we realize how broad the Lord is. How great, how large, how all-encompassing. He's put us in a wide place in Christ and put us there with each other in Christ. I praise the Lord for all that he has been to me and to my wife, the blessing that we've known, and what we've received from all of you, not just yesterday, but through the years. And God is doing many wonderful things, and whatever happens in the future, it's here for our gain, for his gain in us. I'm convinced of that. You might say, oh, that's easy, you're leaving. We have our problems, but the Lord's the same. And we don't know what's going to happen where we're going, but it is an adventure. We do have hope. He has a purpose in all these things, and he's going to gain ground in us, not just us going away, all of us. May the Lord have his way, and all of us be more of a blessing and have more to offer and come to meetings prepared with our hearts full. It's just good to be where the Lord's people are. Thank you for putting up with reminders that the Lord is good.